What's going on, guys? So in today's episode, I got my good friend Will here. We're going to talk about all things UFC and in the fight world. I hope you guys like it. But before we get into today's episode, here's a few words from our sponsor. Yo, what's up, Will? How you doing today, buddy?
Ready to go, man. Gassed, juiced.
You ready to go? Let's do it, my man. What you been up to?
Been working and working out. Working out a lot, 2 to 3 times a day.
Jeez, all right.
6 meals a day.
There you go.
Getting cardio, your gains in. Cardio.
There you go. But today's the first time that we got Will on the podcast in the same room. Because we've had you on the podcast before, but we're always over the phone doing it. But
had to make a flight over.
Yeah, you had to make the fly.
The 2 miles.
Yeah. But anyways, Will's in here. We're gonna talk about the usual, some fights. Whenever Will's on the podcast, we got Hilton in the background too. Just got done with a podcast with him.
What's up with it? Y'all can hear me.
Yeah, you probably can't even hear you. But no, we're gonna rewatch for all the fight fans, Eddie Alvarez and Edward Foley Yang fight, and then the Demetrius Johnson fight, and then the Robbie Lawler. Colby Covington fight. Mm-hmm. 3 big fights this weekend. But first, we're going to watch the Eddie Alvarez fight. You want to skip through this intro part?
Yeah. The stats, we'll get to it later, but the stats on the Colby Covington fight was ridiculous, man.
Insane. Watching that fight.
You think Max Holloway's a volume striker? Forget about it.
Yeah, I was watching that fight, and I was like, holy shit. And we'll get to it whenever we get to it, but...
I hate Colby, but
anyway.
Eddie Alvarez is
average. I know he's got a weird body. His
you
waist
know what?
So is
so skinny. So
many
of these fighters have these pokey ribs. Like I don't have pokey ribs. What's up with that?
Yes. Yeah.
Why do they have pokey ribs?
I don't. I wonder if it's
are they all
their
broken.
Waist?
They've been broken. I don't know. I mean, not broken now, but they've been broken.
I wonder if it's like really that their them. Waist is like so skinny because they're such in good shape that they're
right?
hit.
They cut so much weight and slim.
Yeah, that their ribs are like. But this is going to be a big fight for Eddie. He's coming off a loss to...
Russian.
Yeah. What's his name?
I don't know.
I want to say his name is Alexander Nastukin. His last name is Nastukin.
Sounds right.
But, he got clipped in that last fight. And ever since the Conor McGregor fight, he's been in some wars.
Oh, yeah. The only reason he's back in this position is because the other guy got hurt and had to pull out. So now Eddie's in the semifinal fight.
Yeah. But I've been doing a little bit more research on one. These boys gonna strike out here.
Yeah.
I mean, we're like in the Muay Thai capital of the world out here in the Philippines, in Thailand and
Thailand, Singapore, all that.
Yeah. And yes, these boys can strike. Let's get past all this. These Korean girls.
So is this boxing?
No, it's MMA.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's MMA.
But they have it. Yeah, they do have it in a ring, though, which is different.
God. Yeah.
Sometimes it's a cage, sometimes it's not.
It's kind of like the Pride style. I kind of like it.
And it's interesting because there's advantages and disadvantages to having a
right.
ring instead of a cage.
Yes.
You can't do cage walks. You can't get up as easy.
Yep.
But also, if you're the wrestler
Ooh.
On the attack, you're able to hold them down easier. So.
Yeah. But let's see. We are 4:39 left in the first round. 35, 34, 33. Gonna do a little Joe Rogan bit. But yeah, let's see. Eddie, he looks bodied up. He's fighting at a heavier weight class because they don't cut weight
right.
with the water rule. So he's fighting at a technical
like
lightweight,
170
but 170, yeah, yeah, is what they said. Ooh. But
yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember a lot about this one other than Ooh. How it ended. So yeah, I'll see how this goes.
Yeah, you can see that this dude's just got insane kicks on him.
This dude's got some tree trunks on him, too. You know,
his
you know
legs,
he can take the leg kicks.
His legs are thick. Look at those things. Holy shit. Look at this right here. Uh-oh. Oh. Clipped him right there, the left hook. Oh.
Eddie takes more damage than he used to, that's for sure, after those wars. He waits.
Yes.
He takes. He'll cover up well, defend, but he doesn't.
Ooh,
oh, and he's down with
shit.
The leg kicks. That's right. Now I remember.
Yeah,
he's already hurt.
That was a leg kick from hell.
He's had some miles on him, you know. He's on the tail end, but doesn't mean he's not really good still.
Yeah.
How old is he?
35. But he's been in, like Robert said, some real wars.
Been in some wars. The Justin Gaethje, fought Dustin Poirier
twice.
Yeah, he's been in some wars. Nice sweep there. Basically, what happened is the guy threw a leg kick from Bangkok and basically chopped his leg off and went to the ground.
It must have been a calf kick, right, to put him down like that?
Yeah. Either that or just a super powerful kick. Yeah. But I don't know.
Look at that. He's already gotten flattened out, bellied down.
Yeah, you can just tell that
his top game looks way superior to this guy, and he's already looking to sink in that rear naked, and he's got it right there.
Yeah, he's got
it. It's already over.
Lifted up the chin, he's under.
Look how his legs are up in the air.
Boom, done.
As his legs are in the air, that means his head is going further into the ground, and the choke is getting tighter. It's already over.
Yeah. Wow. So it was like 2-minute fight for him. It's good seeing
him. Relatively no damage other than that leg kick.
Yeah, basically.
So that was good for him after getting knocked out his last fight.
He got clipped.
Clipped,
yeah. He got clipped a few times of that left hook where he was coming in.
Yeah.
And just got clipped, but that leg kick, I was like, God dang. But, yeah. Kind of rewatching this, going back over it, kind of rewatching it for Will to kind of refresh his memory. It almost makes me think, whenever he got hit with that leg kick, he went down on purpose.
You think so?
Like
he knew he was superior on the ground.
Yes.
It's possible.
And he knew that he was going to get, like, he was just...
I think it was a combination of both. I think it hurt him, and then he's like, okay,
I'm just going to stay down here.
I don't want to stay standing with this guy if I'm going to keep taking these kicks.
Yes.
Let's just let him come to the ground.
Yes, like, I'm not going to even try to take him down. I'm just going to
get possible.
Hurt and let him come to me. Let him, you know, let him be...
Because he swept him so fast, and he bellied him down quick.
Yeah, let him be a, you know, blood in the water situation and just try and see if he'll rush me. Rewatching it back, that's what it looked like to me. It was like a delayed, kind of almost like a, like one of the Nate Diaz knockdowns.
Right, where he would just wait for Connor to come.
Yeah.
And then Connor wouldn't have it, yeah.
That's nice. Lifted the chin, slid the arm under.
I'm so impressed by the look at his back legs. The legs are elevated off the ground by Eddie's hooks.
Yeah.
And when his legs go up, his head goes down, the choke sinks in deeper.
Yep. Some of the little key things that most people aren't going to pick up on. But, so that's the first one. We'll go ahead and watch this one. This one right here was a...
He's always so technical.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, this fight was amazing. We're just kind of rewatching the fights, going back over them, and going to check them out. Ooh, let's go ahead and skip it. But, so how's your firefighter stuff going, man?
Oh, good, man. I just did my physical. That was easy because I prepared for it. It's just to run you through a bunch of different courses, testing different things you'd need with power, agility, endurance, mainly endurance.
That's good.
Yeah, pretty good.
How'd the test go?
They good. You get like 10.5 minutes to do the whole thing. It's just pass or fail, but they keep your time for later on down the road.
Yeah.
So you just find out how much time you get left. So I had 2.5 minutes left.
Okay.
Which,
that's good.
Yeah, I don't know how everyone else did. Because they don't tell us their times.
Right.
So I probably wasn't the best, but I know I'm somewhere near the very top. So that's all I wanted. Run through it. You just do like, you have 75-pound vest on. You do 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes on the stair climber.
Mm-hmm.
60 steps a minute. So that really kind of drains you right there.
Yeah.
From just the time you have weight down and on that. And then they strip off 25 of the pounds. You got a 50-pound vest left. And you go through the rest of the course from stuff like 200-pound dummy drags, ladder carries, farmer's walks. You got to go through a maze that's pitch black, like crawling. There's like closed spaces and stuff.
Right.
You got to figure out in there, move stuff out of the way.
Right.
So it's interesting. It's interesting.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So, all right. Let's get into this one. Demetrius Johnson versus Tatsumitsu Wada.
I was very impressed by Wada's back takes in this fight.
Yes.
I've never seen anyone take someone of Demetrius Johnson's caliber as back that easily. Not even Tim Elliott. Tim Elliott was very good at tying up Demetrius on the ground. But standing, this guy Wada was able to slip around his back and just latch onto him. I don't know how he did it. There's no way he's like a Damian Maia kind of guy, but he was just slick, man.
Yeah, super slick. Whenever he got him here in the corner, I was like, oh shit, like He's kind of working on him, but you could just see in Demetrius's face, he's so experienced, he's so seasoned that he was just like...
He wasn't bothered.
He's just composed, calm. Most people, they probably would have gave up the choke and it eventually would have, you know, led to a submission, but he just kind of stayed calm, composed.
He's kind of just feeling him out still. Just, yeah. And I feel like already these two fights he's had are harder than most of his UFC fights.
Yes.
Not maybe not like a Henry Cejudo, he was hard. Yeah. I'd say his only competition similar to one he's had is Joe Benavidez and Henry Cejudo. Maybe Tim Elliott gave him trouble too. But most of the guys, these two one guys he's fought now, have already given him a little more trouble than most UFC guys. So they got some talent.
Yeah, this guy's a big dude for a flyweight. Mm. A big guy.
What do you think they weighed in at? Because I know they don't disclose it.
Right. I would say probably
at
somewhere...
At least 35.
Yeah, I was going to say probably 35 to 40. That's a big guy right there. I would say somewhere at least 35 to 40 because they have to have, what, 10%?
10% hydration.
10% hydration. So, yeah, I would say at least 35.
That makes sense.
I mean, because think about it. That was a lightweight fight. They weighed about 170.
That back take was so smooth. And it's even harder without a cage, I would think. Because a cage, you can drag your back on it and push off, and the ropes just give. There's nothing.
The part that got me right here, once he took his back, is he elevated that right leg.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Tying him. Yeah. So he can't get up.
Exactly. Sure. He elevated that right leg.
Straight to a body triangle.
So, and Demetrius knew that he's, elevated his leg, and that's what he just kind of gave up and fell back.
And you can tell just by watching that, if you know what you're looking at, he's going to try to get his leg off from the part that's being elevated so you can have both legs, feet planted. Yeah. So you can, and actually, when I watched this fight, this part coming up where he spins out of it, I had to drag it back and rewatch it about 3 times to see what he did because he did it so fast to spin out and get that side control or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is coming up here in a sec. I think it's first round. I don't know. But
For most people, they don't understand what we're talking about right now, but basically they're on the ground and he took his back and he's in a figure four right now. He's got the left leg basically extended with the...
Here's where he does it.
Yeah, with the figure four.
And I was like, whoa, it's so fast. I had to go back and rewatch it a few times just to understand what he did because it was so technical.
Yeah. Most people in this position...
Or not yet, though.
They're not going to get out of this.
Yeah.
You're going to give up the submission. They're either going to get the choke or they're going to get the arm bar on the scramble. Or if they're sloppy.
But now he's it off figure four and boom.
Yeah.
He just twists.
Yeah, but see that leg? He's still got him hooked.
Oh, yep.
Or on there. So if he didn't keep
I don't know
that,
if this is the one I was talking about or not. I'm not sure. But either way.
Yeah, so he kind of comes back all because he had that leg hooked. He couldn't get all the way around.
Yep. That wasn't it then.
Either way, you could just tell. This right here showed his... Just how experienced... I mean, obviously, we know he's a great grappler. No one's just going to go, try to suplex into an armbar.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you got to be...
Ray Borg.
Yeah. Ray Berg. You got to be pretty advanced to pull off some moves like that. But, yeah, his composure was pretty good in this fight.
Yeah, most people, they're like, okay, I'm losing the round. They have my back. I'm really trying not to get strangled right now. He's punching me in the face. And you could just look at DJ's face, and he's like, eh.
Yeah, he's just cool, calm, He's composed in there. He's just fighting the hands. Basically, he's just thinking, this is my opinion, he's just thinking, I'm just going to let this guy tire out his arms, tire his legs out, come back and do it again. But at this weight, they got cardio for days, especially for these dudes.
That's what it was. I was like, boom. I was like, I had to go back and rewatch that, because I was like, how did he spin out of that? I didn't understand. And it's just so subtle. As soon as he had that other leg planted and he had that hip room.
Boom.
Yeah.
The thing that got me rewatching this fight, I was like, the head strikes, the elbow strikes to the back of the head, and I was like, oh, it's one. They don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
getting knee to the head, yeah.
They get knee to the head.
On the ground.
And in this fight,
he did.
I was like, what the hell? Yeah. In my head, I was thinking, no, DJ, don't do it. And then I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, cool. I knew it coming in. Like, DJ did it the first fight he had, too.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, when you do that, why doesn't he go for it more?
Watch right here when he elevates his leg up. Right there.
He's already doing it while he's standing.
Boom. And then he gets, boom, right there. He just, like...
It's impressive he's standing that long, even though he has defense, but still.
Yeah, and then he's just, like, boom. But, yeah, I was, like, elbows of the head, or to the back of the head, really. I mean, it just... Anywhere, just whatever. Because he did elbow to the back of the head a couple times the first round, and then I think the other Wada got warned the second round. But yeah, but I kind of like that because it's just it's a fight, and you, this is what you got, you know. And if you get knee to the head, you get knee to the head. You know, they're not gonna stop you. So I kind of like that aspect of it. But super technical fight though, between these dudes.
Goes in distance.
I almost was like watching. I was like, I'm biased. I'd give it to him. But then like towards the end, he just kind of dominated.
Yeah. First round was definitely obviously Wada.
Yeah.
And after that, it's like it's close.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, and I think if it had been a five rounder, DJ would have taken over more and more.
Yeah.
Because he was just figuring him out as he goes, you know.
Yeah, here it was like that round of like, okay, I'm going to figure you out on the feet, and if we go to the ground, I know what you got. And then the third round, he just kind of dominated, took his back once.
But he learned so well. Yeah, it's impressive that Wada still takes his back again at some point. Because DJ doesn't really make mistakes.
But it was just in a quick scramble, I think, right?
Oh, was it?
I don't know. I can't remember, honestly.
Felt like it was in the same position, standing, slips around him.
We'll check it out. But, I mean, obviously the guy is competent on the feet as well. I mean, you're coming from the birthplace of, you know, standing martial arts.
Yeah.
Philippines, you know, Asia. So, all these guys can stand and bang. For me, it's just like, what's their ground game like? Obviously, they're nowhere close to Brazil. Or, you know, right. Or America. So their traditional wrestling isn't there. And,
right.
You know, their jiu-jitsu game is not there. But they are close to Russia and their, I guess, style of grappling. But I don't know if it, like, converts over into Asia as well as, like, Brazilian grappling, you know, converts into the United States. But, you can just tell, like, in these exchanges, he's just a bigger dude. He's just kind of like...
Yeah, he's got those underhooks the whole time. He's raising them up a little bit, pressuring him on the...
Every time DJ ropes. Had the overhook, I was just thinking, John Jones, Glover to Schiller, just
right.
Kind of jerking that arm up and just
except John
ripping
Jones
it.
Is taller than everybody.
I know. And then I was like, never mind, he's too short. He's the other guy's bigger than him. He has no leverage there, but... That's a dirty move. Not dirty, but, like, it's an effective move.
What I'm
so
impressed by,
like
kind
sneaky.
Of on the same note, and probably has a little bit to do with height, how well Jones cinches choke. Like, when he standard guillotine
yes.
Leo Machida.
He just, like, you
but
can
like,
see
but
it.
But the way you see him cinch it, you don't see anyone else do that. The way it just wrapped and... It was like a zip tie. It was literally like a zip tie.
You
and there's nothing he could do. It's just so impressive. Like,
yeah. There's like something.
I think that's why I still one of the reasons Jones is a goat over DJ.
But that and his Talk just like Rogan and Shop say, the margin of error for those guys is so much smaller.
Right.
Than here, I mean these guys can stand and bang on the feet, but their power is just not the same.
Right.
I mean you get hit with the left hook from one of these guys, you'll probably be able to eat it, you know, and it's just kind of like Alvarez. You took a hard hook, you know. But he ate it. Those guys, you eat a hook from Rumble, or you eat a hook from Thiago Santos, or Johnny Walker, you're going to lights out.
Yeah.
Immediately lights out. And you're going to get two more hammer fists, and you're done for the night. But, man, yeah. There's some things in martial arts where you're watching and chokes, especially. The one that stands out to me is Brian Ortega, the Cubs Swanson choke.
Yeah, the changing grip in midair.
Yeah, but you see where he has his first grip, and then he goes to switch.
But he has a foresight ahead of time to go, no, I can adjust it.
Yeah, and he adjusts it, and then you just see it just gets exponentially tighter. And then right then and there, Cub Swanson's feet go out from under him, and that was it. He goes to the ground, and I was like, God dang, man. Stuff like that, it's just like...
Some guys are special.
Yeah, they just have that 100 IQ play where they're just like, God dang, man.
This round wasn't particularly good for either guy, but DJ had more control.
Yeah.
So it's fair that he won this one.
Yeah. But, I think, 30 seconds left in this round. He kind of starts to take over, kind of starts to implement his passing, and his past, I mean, his, being in side control, I was like, man, he just couldn't stop him. He had good guard retention there for a little while, but then he's just relentless with his guard pass,
Yep.
And he finally just like, you know what, side control, here we go. And I believe he mounted him right in the third round,
right? I
think
so. Right there, he's trying to go for the knees to the head.
Yeah. And then I was like, what are you doing?
I don't know why I stood him up. I guess just wasn't enough action. Oh, it was round.
Yeah, it was the end of the round.
Okay.
But I was like, what are you doing, DJ?
Yeah.
But we're going to cut here for a little bit. We'll get back with you guys in a minute. And we're back. All right, sorry. We had to piss out of our fat dicks a little bit, but it's cool.
Happens.
So they're in the third round now. Johnson and Wada, 3:55 to go. But, yeah, here...
Just a lot of guard passing. A lot of position changes. Trying to gain a better spot. Not a lot of damage done to either fighter. But that's what you get when you have such high-level technical guys going at it. Because they know if they get that position, it's more important than trying to throw bombs and losing it.
Right, right. Every time someone gets here in this half guard, I'm like, ugh. Because, you know, they want to
butterfly or something.
Yeah, they want a knee slice to get the side control. But every time they do that, I just think of Conor McGregor into the Max Holloway fight, his second fight. Remember, like when he was trying to knee slice, he was just trying to pass his guard, and you just see his knee pop, right as he's going through, he's getting a slice. You just see like his like leg just go, and like pop. I was like, oh! Every time they do that, and every time I do it, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to, like, kind of twist your body and your knee just kind of flows through.
What did you think about those reports about that he broke his foot, like, 3 weeks before the Khabib fight? Did you see those?
Yeah.
Because he didn't, like...
John Kavanaugh was the one who said it.
Oh, he was? Because I was thinking that was very, very possible, but also, we never saw footage of him wearing a boot anywhere. His foot didn't stand out as being particularly swollen when he's in the fight.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's not broken. I didn't see any signs.
Yeah, no, I had heard the same thing. I had heard there was articles out about it because I know, who was it? Thomas.
Luke Thomas.
Luke Thomas. He had talked about it a little bit. And then I want to say it was when John Kavanaugh came on the podcast. He had talked about it. Yeah. But I did hear about that.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, just kind of like, what's his name? Kamaru Usman had a broken foot going to the Woodley fight.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I thought it was something else, but okay. Foot, that's rough.
He was on crutches the day before the fight, the day of weigh-ins.
Oh.
And the day of the fight, Joe was saying he was on crutches.
Jeez, that's a savage right there.
I was like, that's a savage.
You're going to go against the baddest motherfucker of anyone in the division on crutches.
Because at the time, Woodley was just sparking dudes. He was just shutting dudes down.
He's coming off that highlight KO/Darce of Till.
Yeah. I mean, so he was just, like, just nullifying dudes' games. And then, like, he just comes in there. And, I mean, with a broken foot, he put a pace on him.
No one saw him getting beat down for 5 straight rounds.
He put a pace like nobody else on Woodley. And that was impressive to watch. And it's kind of the same thing of, like, the Woodley, Covington fight. He just put a pace on him.
They fought?
I mean, not the Woodley Covington, Lawler Covington.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he put a pace on him. Right here, he tried to do the suplex. I was like, oh, well, there it is.
He's too long.
Yeah, he's too big.
He's like, well, they always say when that, like, Paul Felder and all of them always say, you're trying to do that to a tall guy, it's like picking up a table. It's just ready to set its legs down straight how it wants.
But that little transition right there where he went.
And then boom, knees to the head, right? Oh, yeah. That was that later, earlier, something.
No, I'm talking about that transition right when he went for the suplex and then he came back down.
Yeah.
And he kind of spun out of it.
Yeah.
Kind of went for like a modified like side Gramby roll to get back out of it, but he just locked his hands. He stayed on him, locked his hands. Because in wrestling...
It's basically chain wrestling. He stayed with it. He just stayed with it. It's just chain wrestling.
But I believe in wrestling, if you Gramby roll, you have to separate the hands.
Oh.
I believe so. Don't quote me on that. But right here, whenever you get there and you want a Gramby roll in wrestling, you have to separate the hands. You can't roll through with your hands.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there, DJ just kept his hands, you know.
Yeah, you could tell he definitely positioned and out-dominated him positionally through the last two rounds, neither guy did much damage.
Yeah.
From, well, I mean, we don't know how they feel, but, I mean, it seems like they didn't.
And even on the feet, DJ seemed like he had a little bit more success in the first two rounds. But, as the fight's coming
close. I think if it had been five, he would have slowly just dominated.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But, yeah, we'll see with his next title fight. But anyway, DJ just doing what DJ does, pretty much.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's it. One more fight, and he's fighting for the title.
Yeah, fighting for the title.
Already in one, so we'll see. You know, I mean...
They both are. Alvarez and him, no.
Yeah. I would like to see him get a rematch with Cejudo.
Number three, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because... Like, it's one of those things where... Like, who are you going to give the fight to? You know? I mean, if you give it to Cejudo, okay, fine. If you give it to... Johnson... Fine, but like, I don't. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of one of those things.
Yeah.
Like,
the thing though is that our first fight, Johnson starched him in like 30 seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
Or 1 minute. And the second fight, it was like split decision.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's still Johnson still got the better of the deal, Even though he, I mean, we know he lost by the judges split, I mean, like, I feel like if you compare the two, Johnson still had the better of the two fights because of how dominant he was the first one.
Right. And. I would much rather see a draw in that second fight. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's justified they would have given him a draw.
Yeah. I always thought the second, because I went back and watched it and scored it, I always thought the second Yoel Romero Robert Whitaker fight was a draw.
Yes.
When I went back and watched it and scored it, I'm like, that's a draw. Whitaker was, Yoel was 10-8 in two of the rounds, and he lost the other three. That's a draw.
Yeah. I don't know why there's not more draws in MMA.
And they had said the new 10-8 rules would be like, it's easy to get 10-8s, and I feel like they don't do that.
Yeah.
Because, like, they rarely give out 10-8s, even though they said they made it, it's more easy.
I mean, in this fight, there should have been at least two 10-8 rounds.
Yeah.
And there wasn't.
There wasn't?
There wasn't.
They were all 10-9?
Yeah, they were all 10-9. Damn. Because it was 45-50, 45-50, and then I think it was 48-50. One person gave him a 10-8.
How could he have...
And it was only one judge that gave him a 10-8.
Oh.
One judge out of one round gave him a 10-8.
Yeah, man. I feel like he just came in with a perfect game plan. He knew Lawler didn't change much. He's been the same old school guy. He's going to come out banging. And if you can nullify that, he's not going to have any new tricks for you.
Yeah. Yeah, basically he just gave everybody the blueprint. So you want to beat him?
Yeah, there's
don't stand with him. Nope. Just pressure him with the takedown and hit him with the jab.
Here's a stat. He threw over 800-something strikes in this fight, Colby did.
Mm-hmm.
When you break that down for the five-minute rounds, he threw a strike every, like, 1.5 seconds.
Yeah. It was insane.
For like, when you average it out. Like, that's ridiculous. Not even Max Holloway's doing that. Now, granted... I don't feel like Robbie was ever in any sort of danger with his striking, but he was throwing it out there nonstop. Like, it didn't look like there was any power behind any of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
He's just a good wrestler with a good pressure. That's why him and Kamaru are pretty much the exact same. It's just who's better. I think everyone thinks Usman's better, but we'll see.
So out of Covington's 515 significant strikes thrown, he landed 179. And out of his... He threw 541 total strikes.
Oh, okay. I was way over.
But either way, that's the most strikes thrown in a UFC fight.
Ever, yeah.
Ever. And it landed 201.
Like, I think the combined strikes for Holloway and Poirier was like 700 or 800. And him alone, he just did 540. I mean...
Yeah. But with a freaking... 18 takedown attempts. That's insane.
How many did he land?
He landed 10. That's a lot.
Look, straight into a Superman punch, start the fight. He's like, this is how it's going to be. We're going to pressure you the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm already diving on you. I'm going to try to wear you down and get you tired from the start.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to keep picking you apart.
But you can tell right here in this first minute, Robbie was in his element. He's like, I'm standing and banging. And then slowly, he just started to utilize his jab, started giving more feints for the takedown, and it just got Robbie off his game. He couldn't implement anything that he wanted to implement.
And I love Robbie because he's like always like everyone loves Robbie Lawler and it's like his attitude and stuff. And
yeah.
As soon as he lost, like, I'm gonna go back to drawing board, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, like, how much the drawing board can you really go to because your game hasn't changed.
Exactly. And it's kind of at this point, like, what are you going to start doing? You're going to start wrestling
you're
more?
You're 37 years old.
You're going to start striking more? You don't want to start striking more. You're 37.
You got this power strikes. It's just if someone can pressure you, you're done.
I believe in the first two rounds, he landed 6 takedowns. And then 2 in the last 3 or something like that. Don't quote me. He landed 1 and then, or 2 and then 1 in the 4th. And then no takedowns on the 5th, I believe. I don't know. It's a long time since I watched it. But yeah, it's definitely Usman and Covington.
I think Usman is a little better.
I think he's got better striking. I think he's got better wrestling. And he's a bigger dude.
Now, Colby's accolades in wrestling are higher, but that doesn't mean he's a better MMA wrestler.
Right.
But
right, yeah.
He was an All-American, Pac-10 champion, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Kamaru, I don't exactly know what he did, but it's not as high level as that in D2. College wrestling. Yeah.
He wrestled at D2 in Ohio.
But you look at what he did to Woodley, and you can't argue with that.
No, because, I mean, look at Woodley's accolade. I mean, look at Woodley's wrestling background.
Missouri. Like, he's a better wrestler than Kamaru, D1, Missouri.
Yeah.
I mean.
But it's just like Kamaru was
on paper, he's better.
Yeah, and it's kind of the same thing with what Kamaru was saying on Rogan's podcast. Because he and John Jones wrestled.
In Iowa, right?
Yeah. They wrestled, and he was like, it's the same thing. He's like, because I would go to D1, he said, and I would just be tech falling, I think is what it is, where you just...
No one gets a point on you, and
you just get 21
them.
Points,
yeah.
And that's the max. He said, I would just tech fall people. He said, I wouldn't even pin them, I'd just tech fall them. And he was, what, D2 national champion, something like that, D2 All-American. But right here, I was like, he was probably thinking...
Here, Robbie doesn't look worried at all about the choke. He's not even fighting the hands. He's just like, ah, fuck this guy.
Yeah, he's like in this like modified like bulldog.
Right, like he's like, I've been here.
Yeah, he's like,
Askren.
Yeah.
But he's like, but I mean, he's such a veteran. Like, he's seen all this. He's not worried about it, especially if he's not facing a submission specialist.
Yeah.
Like Maya, whatever. So right now, like, he literally doesn't even look worried. He's not fighting the hands at all.
Yeah.
He's just putting his chin down and letting... This guy, I think he's probably hoping him to make a mistake or something.
Yeah.
But he's just pressuring him.
Yeah, he's just trying to pressure him to making a dumb decision, trying to get uncomfortable so he can either take the back, slip in the actual choke, get the hooks in, or just try to advance to a better position. But he's just kind of chilling out, and you can see where he kind of like gives up the bulldog, and he kind of like goes to something else. You know, just trying to make a move.
Exactly.
But. Yeah, he freaking put the work on him. Utilized his jab crazy. I mean, he was just jab, 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 feint, jab, boom, left hand, right.
Yeah, Robbie's not worried about this at all.
No.
And like going back and watching the little fight, like we can do that, but honestly, like it's not even fair to say this to Colby. But it was kind of almost boring just because he was so dominant.
He
was so dominant that you're like, there's no back and forth. We know what's happening. It's going to be this the whole time. He's just outclassing, outpacing.
Yeah, and you could tell by it was like the third or fourth round, Robbie was just like, again?
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. Like, he was putting a pace on him.
And the thing was, like, by the later rounds, Robbie was... Literally throwing one strike to like 20 of Colby's.
Yes.
If not 30. Like, he was just rolling. Now, he's doing a great job. It doesn't matter, though. You're not throwing anything. He's doing a great job rolling. He never really got hurt, per se, because Colby didn't hit him with anything hard. He's just rolling with it, defending, taking the shots, rolling well, just boxing style. And then you'd throw one shot and maybe touch him, maybe not. Like, dude, you got to find a way around it. And he couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, he was using his... He was beautifully using his jab and feints.
Yeah, and to just keep him off balance. And he said he took some short notice. He didn't get tired at all.
Yeah.
Like what the like? Oh, I think actually I heard he runs with Cameron.
Yeah,
Haynes.
he runs with Cam Haynes, and it's kind of what Sean was saying. He's like, if you run with Cam Haynes, any opponent that you know that's fighting him, watch out. If your opponent is running with Cam Haynes, you better be ready to work.
Yeah.
I mean, because people don't know Cam Haynes. He's like...
ultra marathoner, sponsored by Under Armour, ridiculous.
He's got his own run,
endurance athlete.
Got his own running shoe. I think Shab was like, if you train with a dude who's got his own shoe from Under Armour, you better watch your. He's like, you better watch your P's and Q's. He's like, cause he's getting ready to work you. But yeah, crazy. Him and David Goggins are like running together. He's like, he's just like beating Goggins. He's just like. They run like 20 miles and he's just like ahead of Goggins, just like running full speed ahead. But yeah, this fight was like,
he's like he outpaces David Goggins.
Yeah, I mean yeah, in all the clips you just see like David Goggins behind him and he's just like, you know how Cam Haynes is. Dude, he's like David, sprinting.
Jeez, yeah, that's scary, man.
I mean, because like Cam Haynes like running
I wonder if Cam Haynes is on anything or not. If
he's yeah.
He's got to be, right?
Yeah.
He looks just as jacked as Joe, and he runs all that, and he's 50-something.
Joe's on the juice.
Oh, yeah, we know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's on something. He's, what, in his mid-50s now? David, he's got that more natural,
yeah,
like, I built this body.
Right.
You know? No, not like Cam, where he's just... And Cam works out, too, but you could just tell his muscles are a little bloated.
And guys who run and do endurance stuff like Cam don't have the body he has. They're skinnier, they're thinner, they're lankier. He's built kind of like Joe.
Yeah, exactly. He's built like Joe. Which, hey, cool.
Yeah, I ain't mad at it. I was just wondering.
So, I want to get your... We already know basically what happens with this fight.
Yeah.
Lawler just...
The story's been told already.
He landed 5 takedowns on the first... 7 minutes of the fight.
It was over by the 3rd round, really.
Yeah, but I want to get your take on this card right here. We have UFC 241, Daniel Cormier, Stipe Miocic, Anthony Pettis and Nate Diaz, and then we have Yoel Romero and Paulo Costa.
I got good logic reasons for all these fights.
Give them to me. I want to hear them.
All right, where you want to start? Sorry, Yoel Romero?
Yeah, I'll start Yoel Romero.
Okay, that one is the one I'm least sure about.
Yeah.
I've seen what Paulo Costa can do.
Mm-hmm.
We've all seen the power that he has in his hands, mm-hmm. and he's very athletic, very mobile.
He's like
that. Being said, he's just like, he's the next, he's the only guy in the division bigger than Yoel.
He's like a middleweight Johnny Walker.
Yes.
He is the middleweight Johnny Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That being said, even at his age, Yoel, I believe, is still more athletic than him. As age, Yoel is still as quicker than him.
Mm-hmm.
I think either one can knock the other out.
Yeah.
More experience. I think I don't know how good his wrestling defense is, but I don't really care.
Good luck with Yoel Romero.
Yoel Romero is the Yoel Romero wins that. That's what I think.
Yeah. Hey, I don't blame you.
Yeah. Now, Nate Diaz, Anthony Pettis, forget all the stats, how good of a striker Pettis is, or how good endurance / durability Diaz has. Pettis is going to lose for none of those reasons. Here's why he's going to lose.
Okay.
Ever since Pettis won the title, I'd have to go back and look at his record. I don't know the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since he won a title, here's what happens. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Loses to Ferguson. Then he beats Stephen Wonder Thompson. Yep. Someone thought he would, and I thought he would. Why? Because he's got to follow the pattern.
Yeah.
So he did his win now. So now he's got to have his loss. It's that simple.
And I know,
if you're doing win-loss, it's time for loss. That's all.
Yeah. I feel like basically since he lost the title, he just can't get on that streak of keep moving. And this is why I never like take him seriously, is because he goes through this pattern where people are like, oh, Anthony Pettis is... He's back on, but I'm like,
He's always like, it's the old me. I'm getting back to my...
He says that.
Every fight, he says, I'm getting back to my roots. Like,
yes.
Are you just saying every fight you're going to not wrestle? Is that all you're saying?
Like, bro, okay, we get it. You had a kick off the cage.
We get it. You hate wrestling.
Like, cool. All you want to do is stand and bang. But I feel like... And I don't know. I don't know what Nate's going to look like coming back. But I know he's not out of shape.
Hell,
I know that. He's not out of shape. He's in shape. But he's kind of got that same Tony Ferguson rubber mentality of just like just standing, just keep going, and I don't feel like he's gonna put him away because he's rubbery.
Yeah.
No one's ever put Nate Diaz away.
No.
And I feel like he's just got that same, not on the same level as Ferguson of just like coming,
mm-hmm.
but and and because of his just win-loss pattern, I don't think he's going to win two in a row ever. If he does, I'd be surprised. I got Nate Diaz in this one.
And Pettis isn't afraid of anyone, I don't think. But
no.
But here's the thing. With the pressure of someone like Ferguson or Diaz, he's going to fade. He's so kind of like with his fancy spinning kicks and his attacks.
Yeah.
He's explosive. He's always going to be a good striker, but he fades, and under pressure especially, he fades.
Yes.
And Diaz is just going to win by decision, I think.
Yeah, that's one thing about Pettis is he's always like, I'm going back to my old self, and then they play a clip of him throwing the kick off the cage, and I'm like, all right,
dude.
That was
10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that was in, what, like 2007?
Yeah.
8? It's 2019.
Literally at least 10 years ago.
But anyways, I got Diaz winning decision. I don't see him finishing him. I see him going to decision and win. Yeah. Now, here's the big boy. We got Daniel Cormier, Stipe Miocic. What you got?
Before I tell you who I pick, I'm going to tell you what I don't like about Stipe anymore. I'll tell you why I'm not a fan like I used to be.
Okay,
so they fought, right? Mm-hmm. And it was stipulated in their next contract that the winner of the fight would get Brock Lesnar if Lesnar was able to fight. That was what that was stipulated in the contract. That's what they both agreed to. Mm-hmm. That's what they sat down with Dana White and decided.
Right.
Stipe gets knocked out. He loses. Cormier has his little call out of Brock Lesnar. And all of a sudden, Stipe is complaining that he's defended the belt the most times. He's done all this stuff for the heavyweight division. It's not fair that he's getting Brock Lesnar. And it's like, whoa, 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 man. You agreed to this. You both agreed to this. You wouldn't be saying this if you'd won the fight. You wouldn't give Cormier the rematch.
Exactly.
And then when Cormier is still waiting around and then fights Derek Lewis because they throw a bunch of money at him, they need him, even though his back's hurt, Stipe's pissed off about that. Then he's still waiting to hear about Brock Lesnar. Stipe's still getting pissed. He's out on social media posting pics of him punching Cormier in the face and stuff when, like, dude, everyone knows you lost.
Yeah. I mean, you got knocked out. You got knocked out.
In the first round. And then finally, come full circle a year later, he's getting the fight and he's still complaining about how he didn't get it before. It's like, dude, Cormier, when he lost to Jones, you know what he did? He went back and he fought someone else.
Fought multiple times.
Yeah.
Multiple
times. But he didn't just give him the belt when they stripped John. He had to fight for it. Like, it's not like he went back to work.
Yeah.
You complained for a year.
Yes, that's what pissed me off.
And
I was
then
like,
now you got your shot. Congrats, man.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, I never liked Stipe.
I did, I liked him before.
I never did, I don't know why, I just didn't like him. And then all of that crap, I was like, dude, why are you complaining, bro? Go put out some fires or something while you're going to complain.
Yeah, but besides all that, I gotta say, I don't see the result being any different. Cormier is undefeated at heavyweight, and he fought monsters, and Stipe is a monster, but he fought monsters before, he's fought monsters now. He's too good at heavyweight, he carries his power so well. Cormier, yeah. I'm going to say once again, but I'm going to say
knockout.
I don't know if it's knockout again, but Cormier's going to win again. I wouldn't be surprised if it's knockout. If he's fighting back at light heavyweight, if it was someone other than John Jones,
mm-hmm.
I would say he would win, but not by knockout, but heavyweight. I think it's going to be a finish, whether it's submission or knockout.
All right.
In the later rounds.
I don't hate it.
4 or 5.
Yeah,
submission or knockout.
I've got Cormier. I've got Cormier winning decision.
Yeah, it's fair.
I think he's gonna win this. I don't think he's gonna knock him out. I think if he knocks him out again, I'd be really surprised. I think he's gonna submit him. I mean, I don't think he's gonna submit him. I think he's gonna go to decision. But I think it's gonna be a handedly submission. He's gonna win. Very obvious, but
yeah. The only thing I would worry about is if Stipe figured out a way to tax the. Now, Cormier's got good conditioning, but then again, he is at heavyweight. And if he finds a way to tax and pressure Cormier, his conditioning, that's the only thing I'd be worried about, because he's at heavyweight.
Yeah, but, I still don't see it.
Yeah, I don't
I still don't see him winning.
Yeah.
But, all right, so we both agree.
We agree on
every fight.
Yeah.
Now, this one right here, this is another big one. I mean, they've got one big fight. The rest of the fights on here suck. They're absolutely terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But we have UFC 242 in Abu Dhabi.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the only big fight going on. Basically, it's the lightweight championship fight. Khabib Nurmagomedov and Dustin Poirier. And the co-main, that's kind of fun. Edson Barboza, Paul Felder.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
And then on this card, it's like a
rematch.
It's like a Khabib card, basically. It's they've
bunch
got
a bunch of mega, bunch of ner- mega.
Yeah, numbers. They have Islam Makhachev, basically his brother, or like his good friend, Islam Makhachev. They've got, I believe they have, right here, one of his other friends, Magomed Mustaveev. And then they have, on the early prelims, they have his brother, or no, not his brother, but they have his other friend, Muslim Salikov.
All the Russian dudes.
Yeah.
The old Dagestani dudes, right?
Yeah, I mean, every single fight, there's Omari Akhmedov, Muslim, Bilal Muhammad, Ottoman Azatir, Khalid Taha.
Makes sense. It's Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, they've got that whole kind of group going on. Every single fight's like that. They've
the only
got
thing
that.
We're concerned about is co-main and main, really.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Edson Barboza winning decision.
See, when I've seen them, I saw their first fight a while back, and I was surprised at how well Felder did. I didn't think he'd do as well as he did. He got beat up still, but like he was always angry and pressing forward and hitting back. It's just that he got outstruck, you know. It was a decision win by Barboza. Yeah. I don't think Barboza puts him away, just like he didn't last time. I think Barboza's still very good, but I think Paul Felder's gotten better since then. And I think this fight's going to be closer than we think. I think this fight is going to be a split decision.
Okay.
And I think, just because I like him, I'm going to say Paul Felder. I want my boy Paul Felder to get that split decision.
All right. He's coming off a win, right?
Coming off beating James Vick.
Yeah.
And before that, he lost to Mike Perry at welterweight because he broke his arm. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he probably would have won, I think.
Yeah. So, I've got Barboza.
That's fair.
I've got Barboza. I don't know. I just think he's going
to
kind of.
And you look at what Barboza did to Dan Hooker. Now, he is coming off a loss, knockout loss to Justin Gaethje.
Hangman.
But, yeah, the way he dismantled Dan Hooker.
Yeah.
And Hooker from San Antonio is coming off a win of James Vick. So, it's all.
Got a little MMA math going on.
A little MMA math. You can never figure it out.
But, so, yeah, I got Barboza. You got Felder. We'll see how that one goes.
How do you have Barboza by?
Decision. Yeah, I don't think he's going to knock him out. I think he's just going to go to decision.
I think Felder's too tough.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're both experienced vets. You're not gonna throw anything that they haven't seen, especially very fought this guy.
Well, a lot of time, people never see that spinning back kick.
Yeah.
But he like you know he's expecting it. The only thing I wish Paul Felder didn't throw so many spinning back fists. He throws so many spinning back fists when he
broke his arm doing that.
Is that how he did it? Oh yeah,
I believe so.
Sense.
Right?
Yeah, probably. Still throws it threw it a bunch of times in the Vick fights though.
Yeah, he's relentless with it, but. Now, here's the big one. A lot of people are just going to write it off and say it could be right off the bat. I want to get your take on it. What do you got?
Man, every time Khabib has a fight, it's so compelling, but I don't think he'll meet his match till he meets Ferguson, and then we'll see what's up. Till he meets Ferguson, then we'll see what's up. I think Poirier is good as great as conditioning is, I think he's some of the best boxing in MMA, period. As great as he is at all that, as great as he chains all his combos together, I see Khabib winning a decision pretty strongly. A strong, like, say, 3 to 4 round, say, 4 round decision.
4 rounds?
He wins 4 rounds. I don't think Khabib beats his match.
Alright. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Unless he fights Conor or Ferguson, then, I mean, I don't know. I feel like a healthy Conor. Conor on a rematch. I feel it's going to be a lot more
Conor
competitive
come
fight.
In healthy, a different game plan.
Yes.
His game plan was terrible.
Terrible, and they admitted it, that it was a terrible
John
game
Cavill
plan.
John Cavill never does that bad, but I've got to put that on the coaches a little bit.
Yeah, and like I said, I heard stuff, you'd heard stuff. It wasn't a healthy Conor, and a broken foot coming into the fight, it's going to play a big role of, depending on what foot it is, whether you're planning and you're throwing strikes, you're going for a takedown defense, it's gonna put a big strain on your game.
Conor still is the only person, as far as I know, to win a round against Khabib.
Yeah, I feel with a healthy Conor, it's gonna be a competitive fight, and I would give it to Conor. Although, the first fight, I was like, ugh, I didn't know what to pick, you know. I'm a diehard Conor fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got Khabib decision.
It's just he doesn't ever fight enough, and when he fights the best guys in the world, whether it's Mayweather
yeah.
or it's Khabib. And yeah. It's just so he's kind of, he's by no means slipping out of the limelight because he's Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
But at the same time, win a fight. Like, why didn't you fight Cerrone when you had a chance?
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been an exciting fight. I'm still mad about that.
Yeah.
Or even Masvidal, but Dana White's saying no.
Yeah, but Donald, he's got an exciting fight coming up.
Oh, man, I can't wait to that Gaethje fight. I think it's going to be a war. I think Conor will fight Diaz after Diaz beats Pettis next year. I'd say in 2020.
That's what everybody's saying, is that it's going to be kind of one of those. And I would like that fight because it's a warm-up fight.
Diaz is a warm-up fight?
I would like for him to have that fight and then go to Khabib. Yeah. Because it's already going to be a grappling-heavy camp.
Yeah, I think he'll beat Diaz again.
I think he does.
He had a tough time managing him conditioning-wise a little bit.
Motherfucker, if he can get his goddamn conditioning
out. It pisses me off, man.
Although, they went 4 rounds with Khabib fight. And his conditioning didn't look bad.
No. But it was a different kind of pressure.
But I feel like that kind of pressure, Conor does good in grappling.
Weirdly.
He has the... because grappling or wrestling... We'll put attacks on you.
Like, you look at,
grapple for 5 minutes straight. You look
at
whenever
Chad Mendes had all of them, and he's able to sweep them and get on top. Like, he can grapple.
Yeah, he can. But, I don't know why. I feel like his endurance and his cardio when it comes to wrestling and...
is better, yeah.
And jiu-jitsu, it's better than when he's on his feet.
Because he's not throwing hard strikes, he's just defending.
But right around that 20-minute mark, he starts to fade. Right around 20 minutes. I mean, because we kind of saw it in the Mayweather fight. Right around the 20-minute mark, he just starts to fade.
And the way he fades is so annoying. He, like, wobbles.
He just kind of, like, starts, like...
Like, he looks like he's hurt, but he's not.
It pisses me off. Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing?
And, yeah.
Yeah. But, after this fight, I feel like... I don't know. Who's Ferguson fighting? Next.
He didn't have a fight.
So I feel like they're either going to wait for him to beat Poirier.
No one deserves a title fight more than Ferguson, really.
I would much rather see Ferguson fight Khabib than Conor fight Khabib.
Yes,
me and too. And I'm a diehard Conor fan.
Me too. Because that's the fight we've been wanting to see for years.
Yeah, I feel like Ferguson takes that from Khabib. 9 times out of 10. I feel that strongly about that fight. Mm-hmm. Ferguson, I rewatched the Ferguson Pettis fight, and he's a motherfucker. He does not go away. No. He's a scary dude. He's just got the blood all over his face. That was him coming off
5 months from knee surgery.
He tore the muscle and tendons off the bone.
Tore the meniscus off the bone. 5 months later, he's fighting like that.
Most people can't walk right. 5 months after that.
No. He did that all on his own. All the therapy was on his own. He didn't take doctors.
Checking kicks. Throwing kicks. And, I mean, he's getting that kick, and he's like, he's throwing it. And, yeah, that was...
Yeah, man.
I don't see him going away at all.
No, man. That's why... It's not because so much of Poirier's skill that I don't think he wins. It's just because every man needs his match. And I feel like Ferguson is the guy for Khabib.
Yeah.
It's just not Poirier.
No. No, I think he's just there. He's just going to wrestle him. You know, get a couple takedowns, and if there's a stoppage, it's going to be a submission. It's not going to be a knockout, but I see Khabib winning that fight, and then fighting Ferguson.
Yeah, I see a decision. Easy decision by Khabib.
Oh, yeah, and I see Ferguson beating Khabib.
I do too, man.
I don't see it going to Khabib. I don't see it. Ferguson has angles.
It's too crazy.
Ferguson comes from weird angles.
It's too crazy.
And Khabib will get caught.
He's the kind of guy that would actually ankle pick Khabib.
He's funky, man. He's not normal. Ferguson is not normal. He will,
in
like...
In any way, yeah.
I can't even put words together because his style is just... He's coming from every angle. Every angle. And he's hitting you with everything. He's hitting you with knees, his feet, elbows, hands. I mean, he'd headbutt you if he could. I mean, Ferguson is a dude who would legit headbutt you if he could.
He just doesn't stop. He's so creative. And you know what? He doesn't mind. Like, I feel like he's just going to do some kind of crazy Granby roll out of Khabib's takedowns.
Yes.
And, like, he's just literally going to start doing turning cartwheels in there. And stuff.
Like, his Wing Chun dummy.
He used it.
He's like so. He's like so per. Because like he's sitting there and he's parrying and he's like blocking shots.
If anyone else used that, it would be stupid. But it's Ferguson, so it makes sense.
Yes, and he's like sitting there. Boom, he's blocking shots, parrying. Boom, he's jabbing, hooking off the jab, and then he comes around and he just throws spinning back fist.
He did it to Pettis, right? Where he brought the arm in and he did it and he came around the top like yes. that. Yes. He did it to Pettis.
He's like perfect. Boom. And he's just hitting and he opened him up over the eye. But then he just boom, boom, bang, open up. I mean, his combinations are like flawless because he just like flows so well. He goes here with the elbow. He spins, spinning back fist, spinning elbow. Like his combinations are, he's flowing. He's just flowing into everything.
And if he beats Khabib, dude, like, it's not as exciting of a fight, but just from conditioning standards, I'd like to see him versus Covington. Covington's welterweight.
Ferguson?
Yeah. Like, it's not as interesting of a fight. I still think Ferguson wins, but just conditioning-wise, see who's better.
I love Conor. Love him to death. I've been watching Conor since his second fight in the UFC.
But not Ferguson.
Yeah, I've been watching since his second fight in the UFC. Die-hard Conor fan. Everybody knows that. I think he can beat Khabib. I think the next time they fight him, he will beat Khabib. But he will not beat Ferguson. He will never beat Ferguson. If he fights Ferguson 10 times, Ferguson's gonna beat him 7. I don't see him beating Ferguson, and I hate to say that, but Ferguson is relentless on the feet.
Yeah.
And he will not pose any wrestling attack. He will
not.
It's
weird how heavy Ferguson
is. He will stand
hits,
with you if
dude.
You want to.
He doesn't have the same power, like knockout power as McGregor.
No.
But he hits so heavy and he busts you up so good.
But he's just relentless.
He busts everybody up.
Yeah, I don't see him shooting for a takedown.
Nope.
And I don't see Conor shooting for a takedown. Because Conor's going to stand with you.
Conor's only going to shoot if it's his last hope and he's about to get knocked out.
Yeah, or he's only going to go to the ground if that happens. Or if you take him to the ground. He's not going to go to the ground. He's going to stand with you.
Just Ferguson has more tools to win than Conor. That's it.
Yeah. And it saddens me to say that, but I don't see him getting in the win column against Ferguson.
No.
It pains me to say it, but Ferguson is too freaking good. He's just not going to... There's no way. There's just no way Conor beats him. His cardio's better. Tony would go for 10 rounds if they made him. His cardio's better, his striking's better, his wrestling's better, his jiu-jitsu's better, he's got that 10th planet, card up his sleeve, he's throwing up crazy.
Way better.
Yeah, he's throwing up crazy electric chairs, he's, his rubber guard, you're just not getting off against him.
Yeah.
God dang, I want to see Khabib Ferguson.
That's the number one fight I want to see made in the UFC.
If they don't make that fight happen, they hate money. If they do not make that fight happen, they just hate money.
They tried 4 times.
And every single time
something
happens.
Someone fucks it up.
It's like, god damn.
Either Tony decides to trip on a cord and ruin his whole leg. Khabib decides to eat tiramisu. Something happens.
Like, Tony, you're healthy. Khabib finally got a nutritionist. Let's make it happen. You boys are in your prime. Let's get it on.
It's crazy he didn't have any nutritionist.
Let's get it on. He's just... eating those Dagestan bowls of soup.
He was huge before. Now he stays down and weigh a little more, I think. But he was like, dude, he was walking around close to like about 200.
You
could
see it, in his body.
Yeah.
You could see it in his body.
Thick boned guy.
Yeah, but you can just see he wasn't. He's more defined for this Conor fight. Like he was, he had his abs on him. He was more defined. In the other fights, he had abs, but he wasn't like as cut as he was for this fight.
More blocky and chiseled.
Yeah.
I mean, now anyway. Yeah.
But man. Yeah, I want to see that freaking Khabib Ferguson fight, man. I just love when Tony fights. I get excited when Tony fights.
Yeah.
I don't get excited too much for fights. Obviously, Conor fight, a Ferguson fight, I get excited. Whenever TJ Dillashaw fights, I get excited. I don't know why I get excited for those fights.
I get excited when Adesanya fights. I love Adesanya.
He's crafty, man. He's crafty.
I was watching him in kickboxing before he ever came to UFC, man. It's special.
And when is he fighting Whitaker?
October against Whitaker. That's going to be huge, man, in Australia.
That's UFC 243,
New Zealand,
right?
Australia. Is it?
UFC
yeah, whenever October is,
Whitaker, Adesanya. Obviously, these are all going to be Oceanic guys fighting. Oceanic and
It's going to be huge.
Whitaker, Adesanya. Adesanya's 17-0.
They're getting some kind of big old stadium that they don't usually get for this, I think.
They always do big cards out there.
In Australia, yeah.
UFC's huge in Australia.
Yeah.
I have a student, ex-student of mine. I still keep close to him. But he's from Perth, Australia. Oh. And, he's into jiu-jitsu, he's into MMA. I was like, is it big out there? He's like, dude, it's huge out here. He said, people love the UFC. People love MMA, jiu-jitsu out here. I was like, damn, that's kind of cool. He said he trains. And I was like, that's kind of cool. Yeah, he's like, oh, it's huge out here. Everybody loves it. And I was like, dang, all right. That's cool, you know. You don't hear that very often. But so far, they've only got the main card, it looks like. So on that. Ooh!
What?
Check this out. Oh, never mind.
Oh, you got me excited for a second.
Yeah. Because I saw welterweight, and I saw Lima. And it's Diego Lima.
Oh, you thought Douglas Lima came over to UFC?
I thought it was Douglas Lima.
You'd be like, what? When did that happen?
Yeah, it's his fucking knockoff brother. Sorry, Diego.
Are they actually brothers?
Yeah, they're brothers.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No one cares about Diego
Lima. Yeah. I was like, I got excited there for a second. I was like, ooh, that's going to be a good one.
What's the Diego that McGregor fought?
Diego? Oh, Diego Brandel.
Yeah, Diego Brandel. He's from San Antonio.
Well, he trained in San Antonio at RPBJJ. Yeah. You see Rodrigo in the back with his RPBJJ shirts on and Pete with his Pete Spratt shirts on.
Pete Spratt was a motherfucker.
Some dirty leg kicks.
GSP beat him.
He fought George St. Pierre. George St. Pierre choked him out.
Yeah, but if it had just been kickboxing, oof.
Yeah. I was like, that's kind of cool he fought George.
Yeah.
But I've got Adesanya winning that Whitaker fight all day long.
I don't know, man. That's why I'm excited about it, because I don't know.
I don't see Whitaker being crafty, although...
But if he can beat Yoel Romero, it's just like, who can beat him?
Yeah, but...
But maybe Adesanya's just that good.
But Yoel, he's more on the takedown side. He's explosive. He's not as crafty. He's nowhere near as crafty.
Not nearly. That's a good point. Adesanya may just be able to keep him at range, pick him apart, and impose on him his own game instead of following. Because Whitaker's not really a specialist.
No, he's just kind of your MMA. I mean, he's just MMA style.
I'm gonna slide up and take this real quick.
Go for it.
Hello.
I mean, we probably did a good amount here.
Hello.
All right, guys. Well, we've already did like an hour. You good with that?
Yeah, something like that.
Alright, B. But, alright, that's gonna be it. Uh-oh, the Conor fight came on. The Conor Diaz fight. Oh, this is a classic right here.
He's already throwing that whip.
Oh, this is the first fight. I don't want to see this shit. Turn this off. It's just gonna be bad memories. After seeing... I mean, because Conor was, like, on such a tear at that point, and then just seeing him lose, you're like, no. But anyways, alright.
That shocked me.
This is probably gonna be it for this podcast, folks. Will Westfall in the building. Peace, my brother. Good having you.
Thank you for having me, man.
All right, guys. Until next time. Peace. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you guys had a good time listening to us talk about the fights this past weekend. But until then, I hope everything is good, and I hope everybody's doing well, and I'll catch you next episode. Peace.